You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Christmas Eve, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network on this Thursday, December 24th, and a Christmas Day, December 25th. Matt Derry with you on the Locked On Podcast Network on this crossover Thursday. The host of Locked On Bucks, David Harrison, will join me momentarily. We'll preview Saturday's game between Detroit and Tampa Bay. The news of the day is simple. The Detroit Lions are getting hosed and completely screwed by the NFL. The Lions have done everything protocol-wise that the league has asked when it comes to COVID and coronavirus and everything that has gone on this week with the organization. And today, Daryl Bevel, the interim head coach, admitted that he, Corey Unlin, and other assistant coaches, lead assistant coaches, will not be able to participate and coach on Saturday as the Lions will be playing the Buccaneers at Ford Field at 1 o'clock. And Bevel went on to say that the league was asked by the Lions. The Lions asked the league, hey, can we bump this game back one day? Can we play on Sunday? So that Bevel and Unlin and the rest of these assistant coaches on defense can be a part of what the Lions, you know, are trying to do, and that is just function, win a football game. And the league said no. So instead of having a full coaching staff for just one extra day, remember, the Steelers and Ravens were supposed to play Thanksgiving night. The game got bumped to Saturday. The game got bumped to Sunday. The game got bumped to Monday. The game got moved to Wednesday. I mean, ridiculous. So Daryl Bevel, Corey Unlin, D-line coach Bo Davis, defensive backs coach Steve Gregory, linebackers coach Ty McKenzie, all will not coach in Saturday, in Saturday's game due to COVID-19 protocols, leaving Robert Prince, the wide receivers coach, to run the team and be the interim head coach. Thanks, NFL. What a joke. They're just dying for their golden boy, Tommy, to be on national television with everybody watching on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Tom Brady has to play on Saturday. Tom Brady has to be in prime time. Oh, let's just change the rules. Screw the Lions over so Tommy can be on TV. We've seen Tommy for 15 years or whatever he's played for. Enough. Take care of your teams. This is ridiculous. Like I said, numerous games have been moved. Games have been played on Tuesdays because of COVID and protocols. The Lions are doing all they can. So now, Robert Prince, the wide receivers coach, will be the interim head coach. Sean Ryan, the quarterback's coach, will be the offensive play caller. Evan Rothstein, who's not even a coach, he's an assistant to the head coach in charge of research and analysis. He's never coached before. He's been on the Lions staff forever. Started as an intern. He's your defensive coordinator against Tom Brady. Tony Carter, defensive assistant, is now your defensive backs coach. David Correo, head coach assistant, research and analysis, he's running linebackers. And the William Clay Ford minority coaching assistant, Ty Warren, is now your D-line coach for Saturday. Good luck, Lions. God, this is unfair. I'm sorry. How do you move every other game? How do you move the Thanksgiving game to 6 days later to accommodate the Ravens and the Steelers? The Ravens, their strength coach didn't wear a mask and spread COVID all over the building. But no, let's accommodate them. Here the poor Lions have one positive test on defense and one positive test on their coaching staff. And their interim coach and everybody else gets screwed over and can't be there on Saturday because they have to quarantine for 5 days. And the five-day period started Monday. So Monday, so they found about it on, they've been quarantined Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So Saturday would be day five. It's unfair. Robert Prince is highly regarded. He's been with the Lions since Jim Caldwell was there. Calvin Johnson spoke to the receivers group earlier this year, even though he hates the Lions, because of Robert Prince. So he's now in charge and going to be running the team. The NFL should be ashamed of itself for not moving this game to Sunday. Heck, you want to move it to Monday afternoon so you get Tom Brady in prime time? Play the game at 5 o'clock on Monday. But they don't want to miss out on Tom Brady on their network, NFL Network, nationally televised on Saturday. This is to get eyeballs to their network. Screw it. I hope Rothstein and Prince kick their ass on Saturday and the Lions win. Forget tanking. I hope the Lions win and shove it in Goodell's face. It's unfair. Totally unfair. Now, I recorded Locked On Crossover with Locked On Bucks host David Harrison before all of this went down. So the preview does not include what we went over here in the open. Find us on Twitter at Derry Speaks, at Locked On Lions, the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Guys, have a great Christmas. All right? Enjoy the holiday. I hope you have a great Christmas Eve. Stay safe, please. And now enjoy the crossover. David Harrison and I talk Lions and Bucks. No Ronald Jones for the Bucks. Coming up on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Here we go. All right, let's do this, everybody. Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. David Harrison, Locked On Bucks. The Thursday crossover and what will be an interesting game, certainly Saturday afternoon at Ford Field. As of this recording, the game is still on, David, for Saturday at 1, but it's a little nuts right now in Detroit with the coaches and everything else, and we'll get into that coming up with the COVID situation. But first off, how are you, and what's the season been like covering Tampa Bay?
I'm doing well, Matt. Glad to be talking to you. It's been a long season for everybody, I think, but, you know, coming to an end. And, I mean, for the Buccaneers, I think it's been a little bit of what everybody expected as far as just kind of the craziness surrounding the arrival of Tom Brady and then what it means to cover a team that's got Tom Brady. And literally every little thing is kind of put under that microscope now and has that white hot spotlight shining down on it. And it's been a very interesting experience and a very interesting time. I mean, wish we could be doing it more in person. You know what I mean? Wish you could be at more practices, have some locker room experience. The press box isn't as open as it usually is there at Raymond James Stadium. So, you know, kind of taking it with that whole grain of salt as well. But yeah, it's been interesting to say the least.
There are some weeks you watch Tampa Bay and you go, man, they're cooking. Brady's got it going. You know, Jones runs a 98-yard touchdown run against the Panthers that one week. And then last week, it looked like they sleptwalked through the first three quarters against the Falcons. And you say, man, Brady looks done. And then they come back and win. It's been a bit of a roller coaster, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you go back to the beginning of the season, even the first possession in the Tom Brady era, if you want to call it an era. It's only going to be probably about 2 years, but call it an era if you want to. The very first possession was a touchdown drive against the New Orleans Saints, you know what I mean? And it's kind of, I mean, you obviously don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. You're kind of like, okay, maybe this could actually turn into a thing. And then, you know, it hasn't been a disaster to say that anything, but then you have some of the struggles that they've had. You have some of the embarrassment in primetime football, especially against the Saints later on in week 9. And then, yeah, just the slow starts over the last 4, 5, 6 games even. The team finds a way to claw back in. They find a way to get it figured out, usually at halftime, you know, whatever adjustments they're making. But against some of these playoff caliber teams, it's been too little too late. And then against some of the non-playoff caliber teams like the Falcons last week, they've been able to claw back into it. But obviously, if you consider yourself a legitimate playoff team or a championship caliber team, you want to be able to get those things rectified. So they got 2 more weeks to try to do it. Nobody's going to give them a whole lot of credit, you know, facing the Detroit Lions, especially with everything they've got going on right now there in Detroit, and then facing the Falcons again. Even if they come out these last 2 games on fire and just stay on fire for the next 8 quarters of football, nobody's going to give them a whole lot of credit entering the playoffs. But the first step, of course, is making it to the playoffs, which beating Detroit is the key to that right now.
David Harrison, host of Locked On Bucks. How's Tom Brady been? You know, would you say it's a vintage Brady year? Has he been terrible? Like I said, there have been a lot of differing opinions on how he's played this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just been Tom Brady. You know, we talked to a lot of New England media guys, especially the Locked On Patriots host over there. And really what we've been told is kind of what we've gotten. And just from what I've seen from the outside, I remember years ago, I can't remember exactly how many years ago it was, but Tom was asked about retiring, of course, and like he is every year. And I think he said, you know, this isn't a direct quote, but basically said, when I suck, I'll hang it up. And I remember thinking like 4 or 5 weeks into that season, I was like, oh, well, time to hang it up, buddy. And next thing you know, the Pats are in the playoffs. They might have even won the Super Bowl that year. You know what I mean? So it's Tom Brady and being underestimated, or Tom Brady and being talked down about as far as how much is his talent diminished, especially early in the season, really is not a new thing, I think, from a general overview. But then you kind of see that determination. You kind of see that nothing gets to him. You have the added rumors of a rift between him and Bruce Arians. I mean, going back to his relationship with Bill Belichick, that's not new either. Like, he's used to answering every single one of these questions about, is he too old? Is the offense going to, you know, get fully up to speed? Is he okay with the coaching staff? Is he okay with the play calling? These are just things, like, he's just copy and pasting the questions and scenarios from New England to Tampa. It's just got a new color and a new logo on it. But I think the thing that you're really impressed by is covering some other quarterbacks, right? And not to name just any specific one out there, but you see quarterbacks around the league and they'd all try to kind of deliver that same company line and company message. But there's only a few that you actually hear them say kind of some of the same cliche things and actually believe it. And with Tom Brady, you truly believe that none of the outside noise is really getting to him. It's all about what's happening on the field, in the locker room, and in the meetings.
Tampa Bay at 9-5 right now, currently the sixth seed, and would be in the playoffs, and it looks like they're going to make it. What about defensively? There's some guys that can really fly around the field. I love Lavonte David. What can you tell us about what they're doing defensively? And if you're the Lions, how do you have success against Tampa?
Yeah, I mean, the defense is very young, very fast, very athletic, and very intense. Like, they like to lay hits on people. They like to cause takeaways. They like to take the ball away from the opposing offense. They like to make splash plays. Devin White loves screaming through the line of scrimmage after an opposing quarterback. You go back to the hit he laid on Derek Carr there towards the end of the game against the Las Vegas Raiders, and you just see the joy that he has hitting an opposing quarterback, especially in a big moment. So a lot of energy, a lot of excitement on that side of the ball, and they've been up and down just like the offense has. Sometimes they come out there and you kind of wonder. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons put 17 points on them in the first half just last week, and you kind of look at that defense, you say, man, maybe there's some problems. Maybe they're too young. Maybe the Buccaneers should have added some experience where they didn't in the offseason. But then you have, again, a second half just like they did against the Falcons, like they kind of did against Kansas City Chiefs, where you look at it and you say, man, they're young. But if they get everything rolling, everything clicking, they're so dangerous and they're so athletic and there's so much ability on that side of the ball that you look at the game, but going back to the Falcons game, Jason Pierre-Paul did basically nothing as far as recording stats. He had no tackles, no sacks, no pressures, no hits on Matt Ryan. Yet that defense in the second half was able to make Matt Ryan uncomfortable, get him off his spot, and make it to where the secondary had better plays to make against the Falcons offense. If I'm Matt Stafford and I'm the Detroit Lions offense, I'm keying in on Sean Murphy Bunting. And Sean Murphy Bunting is a Michigan product. He went to school in Michigan.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a lot of love in that state, I assume, for SMB. And you know that he's licking his chops going back to Detroit, just like he was last year. And he made some good plays against the Detroit Lions last year. This season has been a very down year for SMB. He's had some good moments, but overall it's been a very down year for him. And teams are starting in the last few games to really kind of identify it. And I expect Matt Stafford to go after him a lot. There's actually some questions right now circling kind of the Bucs media area about whether or not Ross Cockrell, a cornerback, is going to replace SMB if that play continues. I don't think the Buccaneers straight up replace him for this week, but if he struggles against the Lions early, I think you could see more Cockrell sprinkled in there as the game goes, which of course would be disappointing for him being home playing again in the state of Michigan. But that's probably the spot, I think, if you're Matthew Stafford, that's where you want to look at matchups against him and see if you can exploit them.
You know, it's crazy to think too, David, is that here are the Bucs at 9-5, very decorated, getting on national TV all the time. One Pro Bowler, Jason Pierre-Paul, and you're the Lions at 5-9. They've got three. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, to say it's been a point of contention, not just, you know, the locker room, not a lot of players are coming out and kind of saying, I mean, Carlton Davis kind of tweeted, you know, maybe next year they'll get it right or something along those lines, you know, type of thing. So, I mean, obviously, guys, Devin White tweeted something about, you know, learning through struggles and stuff like that. And you don't know that they're exactly talking about the whole Pro Bowl thing, but they kind of all seems to fit the same timing, you know what I mean? So you kind of fear that's what it is. And listen, if Todd Bowles has his way and if the leaders in that locker room have their way, that defense especially is just going to come out and say, oh, none of us are Pro Bowlers except for JPP. Not that they don't think JPP is Pro Bowl caliber, because it definitely is, but they definitely feel like they've got probably four or five Pro Bowl caliber defenders on that side of the ball. And then on the offense, you obviously have at least a handful of Pro Bowl caliber guys. You can understand kind of your Chris Godwin, who's been injured for a lot of the season, Ronald Jones, you know, quietly near the top of the NFL in rushing yards, but he's been very quiet, very little used in some games. I mean, the Buccaneers set a modern era record for the least amount of runs in a single game this season. So kind of hard to justify he's a Pro Bowler if his own team doesn't lean on him as much as maybe they should. But I think this team is going to take that energy and they're going to harness it into motivation. And there's a great quote that was shared on Twitter. I can't remember who shared it currently, but it was a Tom Brady quote basically saying, I don't give a excrement, right? I don't play this game to go to the Pro Bowl. I play this game to go to the Super Bowl. And I think that's the mentality this entire roster is going to take.
That's David Harrison. I'm Matt Derry, Locked On Lions, Locked On Bucks. Thursday crossover. We'll talk some Lions next.
All right, guys, David Harrison and Matt Derry here. Locked On Podcast Network's crossover Thursday, the Lions and the Buccaneers getting set to play here in Week 16. And Matt, looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2020, they've been fairly fortunate dealing with COVID-19. Their game against the Raiders was moved out of primetime because of a COVID issue with Las Vegas, which, looking at Tampa's primetime record, may have actually been a benefit to them, not anything else. Ronald Jones on the reserve COVID-19 list. He's still on the reserve COVID-19 list as of right now, probably not playing against Detroit. And then last week, they were also out left tackle Donovan Smith. But other than that, they've been pretty good for the most part. They had a false positive with their specialists earlier in the season, but that got cleared up in time for those guys to play. The Lions, from my standing, seem to have been fairly fortunate as well. But now the COVID bug virus is really kind of biting them. They're missing a big chunk, if not all of their defensive coaches, right? What's the latest on that situation going on in Detroit? And do you think it's possible this Bucs and Lions game gets pushed from Saturday to later in the week?
You know, I don't know, David. I at first this morning when I saw this, I said, how do you play this game on Saturday and have Daryl Bevel, the interim head coach, Corey Unlin, the defensive coordinator, and a lot of the defensive staff quarantining in hotels right now and doing everything virtually? Can't even be at practice, nothing. We should know Thursday evening the status of all these coaches. Again, they've been away from everybody else since Sunday. The Lions played in Tennessee against the Titans last weekend. There was a big breakout of COVID in Nashville. So somebody got it, a defensive assistant and a player, both tested positive on Monday. So the Lions shut everything down Monday and Tuesday, got back at it on Wednesday. No positive tests since, which is good. But, you know, with the quarantine that goes on and the contact tracing, you're right. It's a weird situation right now. Sean Ryan, the quarterback's coach, I guess, would run the team and call plays offensively if Bevel can't be there. I don't know who the defensive coordinator would be. I have no idea. And we don't have the names of the coaches that we know are at practice Wednesday and Thursday. So, yeah, it's been a pretty good year for the Lions with COVID. They've been very good about it. But now, after this trip to Nashville last weekend, they're in some trouble.
Yeah, I think the NFL is kind of holding their collective breath, hoping they get through the rest of this regular season and through the playoffs without this whole thing just kind of meaning disaster. Maybe, I don't know, Jamie Collins maybe will be calling plays for the Lions.
Yeah.
Definitely not a good spot to be in.
No thanks.
I think the next biggest question mark surrounding the Lions, really both long-term and this weekend, is the status of quarterback Matt Stafford. And looking at recent history and Stafford's own words, I expect he's going to be on the field. He's pretty much said that, you know, unless he's forced off the field, he's not going to be off the field. What are your thoughts on Stafford playing with some of the injuries he's dealing with and the situation the Lions franchise is currently in? 5-9. I mean, the season's not over, you know, officially, but it's basically over. Tied for the fourth most sacked quarterback in the National Football League right now, going up against the Buccaneers defense, that even with some of their struggles they've had, is still near the top of the league in sacking opposing cornerbacks. And then, of course, some banged up offensive linemen. I mean, you can't blame Lions fans maybe who are on the Stafford side who want him to sit and stay as healthy as he is and start to heal for next season. But at the same time, you understand a guy like Stafford saying that if I can be out there, I'm going to be out there.
Yeah, look, he's always been this tough-as-nails warrior type. He's played through a lot of very, very big-time injuries. The last 2 years, he's been knocked out for the season with this rib problem and has broken ribs. And the ribs have come back to haunt him again this year with some torn cartilage there on top of a broken finger on his throwing hand. Yet he was out there Sunday against Tennessee throwing no-look passes, playing well. The Lions' issues this year, because they're 5-9 and all the things that have gone on and the coaching change and the GM change, at least the firings, have nothing really to do with Stafford. Has he had a great year? Is he a Pro Bowler this year? No. But he's the least of their worries. He is tough, and I think he's going to play. I've said on this show since last week, what's the point in trotting him out now? The season's over. Sit him down. Make sure he doesn't get hurt for the next 3 weeks. And then in the offseason, if you have to sit down and decide, are we trading him? What are we doing with him? Does he want to leave? I don't think that the ownership wants him to go. But he's been here 12 years, David. Wouldn't he and his wife at some point say, get us out of here? This is going to be likely a rebuild once they get a new GM in here. The entire defense needs to be gutted, the entire defense. There might be a few guys that you could bring back, but offensively, they're okay. If they bring Stafford back next year with DeAndre Swift, Kenny Golladay, T.J. Hockenson, Ragnow and Decker on the O-line with Jonah Jackson, they actually won't be in bad shape. But defensively, there's not a single guy on that roster on defense that I would sit here and go, he has to come back. Maybe Romeo Okwara in a contract year. He's played well with 8 sacks, but he's not a dominant player. And so that's where we're at with that right now.
Yeah, I mean, the offense definitely has, you know, the makings of a very solid, capable unit. And that defense, like you said, is really where they got to focus on. And we'll see how they do that. But coming up to this game, Matt, historically, Adrian Peterson, the Lions' leading rusher as of right now, has had some good games against the Bucs. DeAndre Swift has been getting more work lately, leads the Lions in rushing touchdowns right now again. Marvin Jones didn't play last year when these two teams met, but Danny Amendola did and racked up 102 yards on 8 catches. Pro Bowler T.J. Hockenson didn't play against Tampa Bay last year either, but he's had 5 or more catches in 7 games this season, including 2 of the last 3. And tight ends, you know, here and there have found some success against the Buccaneers defense, having a solid sophomore season himself. Frank Ragnow, a man among boys, playing with a fractured throat. I say again, a fractured sore throat, Matt. I don't want to get off my couch.
I know.
But this man basically played a full NFL game with a fractured throat. I will never not be amazed by that. Anyway.
No, those you mentioned those guys, David, the young guys, Ragnow especially, and Hockenson have really come on. And as we joked about in the first segment, you got 3 Pro Bowlers on the Lions, if you include Jack Fox, the punter, who's been tremendous. But again, they still can't run the football consistently. They haven't been able to run it since Barry Sanders. Ragnow's good. Decker's good at left tackle. I'm concerned, big time concerned, about JPP lining up on the left side against the Lions' right side of the offensive line, which is very shaky right now and injury riddled. Hockenson's been good at tight end. Not going to call him an elite tight end. I think this year has been a down year for NFC tight ends, but Hockenson's been really good, and he's playing like a guy that was picked in the top 10 2 years ago. Galladay's out, likely won't play. DeAndre Swift will get a bulk of the carries. I would think it's time for him to take over that mantle as a rookie and get work in, and he's been pretty good. So, yeah, offensively, you have to like what the Lions bring to the table. But again, they spend so much time on the sidelines because their defense can't get off the field. That's a problem.
Yeah, but then when they get on the field, I mean, of course, we talked about Matt Stafford straight out of Tampa, a guy that Tampa fans should love just because he's a hometown guy. If the Lions can do enough to beat this team, though, from an offensive standpoint, who is the guy? And we're going to take Stafford off the board because obviously quarterback, most important player. But who's the skill position guy that the Lions are going to lean on the most, you think, against this Buccaneers defense to keep them, Tampa, from clinching a playoff spot?
Well, like I said, I think they really want to take a long look at what DeAndre Swift can do, whether it's in the ground game, whether it's in the passing game, screen passes, you know, little flares out of the backfield, the fast track of Ford Field, playing in the dome. He's now officially back and 100% healthy. He wasn't. He's gotten close there, but after having a bit of a head injury the last few weeks, I'll be interested in seeing, you know, the usage levels for Swift this week and how much his speed can go up against that Buccaneers speed. So, you know, him along with Hockenson are guys to probably watch if you're the Lions, if you're the Bucs, trying to figure out how to stop the Lions offense.
Yeah, and then Matt, earlier we already talked about Tampa's slow starts on offense and how they've been able to bounce back. And a lot of the performances, even the ones they didn't win, still bouncing back to have a better kind of finish to the game than they did a start to the game. Let's say the Bucs come out slow again against Detroit this week and the Lions are able to carve out a 10, 14, maybe 17-point lead in the first half. If there's a unit on the Lions defense, I know we talked about them not being the strongest group right now in the NFL that you would want, but if there is a part of that defense that can keep Tom Brady and the Bucs offense from coming back the way they have in recent memory, which unit do you think that is?
None. Can I say none of the above?
their
defense is so bad. It's so bad. And here's the thing. I think with Everson Griffin coming off the COVID list and Danny Shelton being eligible, that'll boost the D-line a little bit. Shelton helps against the run. Griffin certainly against the pass. They miss Trey Flowers for sure, but he has not been an $18 million a year guy that they signed up for 2 years ago. Like I said, Okwara can get to the quarterback. I think if you get some pressure on Brady, no matter if he's 41 or 21, you put a hand in his face, it's going to bother him. But the secondary has been a mess, and was a mess last week. You know, they couldn't stop the ground game, which, you know, is not a big surprise when you're going up against, you know, Derrick Henry. The linebackers are terrible. So if the Bucs want to get their tight ends going and find Ragland, Tavai, and Davis in coverage, they should be gold. They should be good to go.
So a potentially big game for Rob Gronkowski coming up.
Could be, for sure.
All right, and finally, Matt, before we get out of here, not sure if you're a betting man or not, but the Bucs are currently favored to win by 10 points, according to our friends over at betonline.ag. For your money, if you had to place a bet, do you take the Bucs with those points, or do you think the Lions can keep this thing at 10 or less and maybe even win this game?
No, I think Tampa Bay is going to win. I think then you throw the COVID stuff in the mix as well. I think it's going to be very difficult for Detroit. They've been fighting hard, playing hard for Daryl Bevel. They like him. The attitudes have been better. The efforts have been pretty good. But even last week, you saw it against Tennessee. It was just too much Tannehill, too much Henry, too much Brown. The Bucs' offense is so skilled and so talented. And then you throw Gronk in the middle of that. You know, I see this being like a 31-10, 31-13 type final for Tampa. What about you?
Yeah, I can say over at BucsNation.com, that's kind of the theme of the score predictions for the writing staff there as well. He's been Matt Derry, Locked On Lions host. I'm David Harrison, Locked On Bucs host. Buccaneers and Lions facing off in Detroit this weekend, the first game of the NFL Network's doubleheader following Christmas on Saturday. So don't get the schedule confused. Matt, I appreciate your time, man. Good luck this weekend, and happy holidays to you and your family.
You too, David. Thank you.